You may remain seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own grace and purpose, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, and has now been revealed to us by the appearing of his Son, who has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. In Jesus' name, who is, who was, and who is to come, our Savior, in flesh and in glory, dear fellow redeemed. Sometimes we speak of the glory of human beings. We see the Medal of Honor awarded to someone who has achieved a great deed. We see the Super Bowl trophy hoisted. Obviously not this year by the Vikings, to my dismay, but still will be hoisted by a team and will be their glory. They'll be the champions. And yet, how long does this last? The glory of man is always imperfect. It's always limited. The Super Bowl champion only is champion until the next season. The king could possess all the riches and treasures of the world, all that glory, yet be morally corrupt and crooked. Well, such is not the case with God. His glory is without compare. He says in Isaiah 42, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images." The glory that belongs to God belongs to him alone. It is eternal. It won't be stolen away by any other god or any other man. The word epiphany means made visible. In the word that we consider today from Isaiah, something is made visible. The glory of the Lord. It's uncovered. Let us stand up, look around, and see this day of epiphany that the glory of the Lord has dawned upon us. Please rise. From Isaiah chapter 60. "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba, shall come. They shall bring incense and gold, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Lord, in your word, shine among us, a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Amen. "Please show me your glory." These are the words of Moses in Exodus chapter 33. Moses was looking to see the glory of the Lord. Yet he didn't quite understand what he was asking for. The Lord responds, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." To visibly see the glory of the Lord with our own eyes is something we could not bear. Paul writes to Timothy, "He alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see." to see that inapproachable light of God in our sinful flesh would destroy us. We would be eternally dying before it. By nature, we lie in a darkness and cannot bear this light. We read in verse 2, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." Darkness is pictured here as a covering, something that hides and conceals. There's nothing glorious about it. This fallen world cannot generate its own light. It is a deep darkness, a cloud that prevents us from viewing that full glory of God because of our fallen, sinful nature. It prevents us from viewing what Adam and Eve were able to see in the garden. It covers us. I recently had a conversation with someone who was raised Buddhist. She described Buddhism as the teaching of reincarnation, that if you live a good life, you'll come back as a higher being. And if you live a bad life, you'll come back as something lower, an animal, or worse. When I asked her how good is good enough, she really looked at me puzzled, as if she wasn't expecting this question. And the best she could come up with was to be kind, to be good, to be generous, and help others. This belief is not common only to Buddhism. Mormons teach that Jesus was merely a man like you and me who reached the glory of God by living a good life. In the same way that Jesus became a God, they teach that you can become a God too if you're good enough. Really, this is not immune to our own Christianity, because so subtly it slips into our teachings, where it becomes something of doing the will of God. That if you do the will of God, you can achieve His glory on this earth. And Jesus is turned into a sort of starter to get you turned on the right path, where then it's up to you to achieve that glory. As we belittle our sins, we diminish the price that was paid to bring the glory of God to us. We bring it down to our level. We look at others and say, well, they're sinners too. In fact, we're all sinners. So really, sin isn't that bad, especially when I compare myself with the really bad people. We hoist our own trophies. However, these are not the trophies of heaven. This is the darkness where we lie to ourselves, thinking God's glory is going to dwell in the midst of our sins. For all have sinned and fall short of what? The glory of God. Jesus did not come to set an example only, or to get you started. He came to raise up the glory of God, to hoist the trophy of salvation through His life, His death, and His resurrection. Verse 2 goes on, "But the Lord Himself will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you." His glory is what rises out of darkness, not our own. In an epiphany we never expected, right out of the midst of our sinful world, comes the presence of God's own Son. John writes that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That glory dwelt among us in Jesus Christ, full of the grace which gave up the glories of heaven to take on the darkness of our sin, and the truth which proclaims there's no other salvation given among men by which we can be saved. This is the brightest glory hidden in God's salvation. The glory of all other gods are really tarnished trophies. The glory of Buddha is really nothing compared to the glory of the Lord. Because their glory is revealed in a few outward achievements, a few good works, being kind to others, at least most of the time. They reveal a glory that ascribes goodness rather arbitrarily and punishes badness by giving you another chance in this sinful world. The glory of God is without compare. The glory of Christ rises to last place. Born in all humility, it gives up all glory in the work of dying our death, of carrying our sins, and rising victorious. Here is the credit due, where God rises and casts out the darkness that enshrouds you. The shining of God's true righteousness has come upon you by faith, so that you too dwell in the glorious presence of God's Son. What was the glory of His Son has become the glory of His people. The Lord did reveal Himself to Moses, yet He did not do so to his eyes. He concealed Moses in a rock so that he wouldn't see this full glory of God. And rather than showing it to his sinful eyes, He revealed it to his ears. He proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, forgiving sin. This is the glory of the Lord. Where God's name is proclaimed, there is that hidden glory that comes to us. Where Christ is taught and preached and believed, here among us, God's glory has come. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So arise, stand up and see. It's so easy to take the gospel for granted. It's so easy to be consumed with the darkness of our own sins, or the cloudiness of our own goals in this world, and this new year, to miss what it rests right here in God's Word, every day. The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. When Simeon was in the temple and he held the baby Jesus in his arms, he declared that this was a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a light for the glory of Israel. That it was both the revelation that would bring Gentiles from afar into God's presence and fellowship, and also the glory of his own people. Indeed, as Israel went forth, preachers like Paul and Peter at Pentecost, sending the Holy Spirit to the ends of the earth, that glory of Israel drew in Gentiles. It has come to us here at Ascension today. It dwells among us. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather to you. They come to you from afar. God has drawn us into His glory. It's bigger than just this building or this group of people. In fact, it extends throughout time and space. Generation upon generation are gathered into the body of Christ, a spiritual union. You have been brought to the heavenly Jerusalem that you don't dwell there in your sinful body. You have been purified and righteous to be in the presence of God by faith. The Mount Zion. Think of how our liturgy shines forth this glory. If you look in your bulletin with me, you can see this in our order of service. We gather in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, meaning that name that was proclaimed to Moses has come to us, the Lord gracious and merciful. And so we confess our sins. We confess that we are poor, miserable sinners. We lay them before God's throne. This is really the greatest praise to give to our Savior, because it ascribes all righteousness to Him and leaves none to our own credit. And then the glory of God comes. as you are pronounced forgiven of your sins, God's glory has come to you. We respond by singing, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Glory be to God on high and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The song of the angels. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for thy great glory. And then we receive the word in our scripture reading, where God truly comes to us to speak of his heavenly wisdom, to reveal what Paul revealed to us, mysteries that we would never know. Indeed, we literally stand up to see the glory of Christ in the gospel reading, where we say, glory be to thee, O Lord. Again, ascribing that glory to our Savior. We confess our faith in the creed, this glory that has come to us, that has come to us through the revelation of the Word. And where does it all culminate? Where does all the glory of God center and dwell among us? As we receive the Lord's body and blood, he is with us in a way that no other God, no other part of this creation has ever come to man. This is the heavenly dwelling of God, where we eat and drink of his glory. We sing, holy, holy, holy. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That blessed one, full of grace and truth, comes from heaven to earth to dwell among us. Christ, the Lamb of God, who removes our sins, and unites us with his heavenly dwelling place, along with all believers. This is really something special. This last week, a fellow believer passed away. I had been ministering to Richard Rice for 6 months at Batavia Rehab. And he has now entered into this communion with Christ. The full glory of heaven. He passed away last Saturday. He gained the victory over death. As we receive Christ's body and blood, we join Richard, who is in the feast of victory even now. Truly, this is the glory of God among us. It is the abundance of the sea, as our text says, the wealth of all the world, that all the world serves God's saving purpose to bring you from this sinful world to God's dwelling place in heaven. So leave today shining. Go forth in this presence of God's glory. Have you ever noticed how as you walk in through those doors, there's a star hanging above the doors to the sanctuary? This is because you come here to find Jesus, as the wise men did. You enter those doors to come to God's glory. So take it with you today. To hoist the trophy, not of yourselves, not Super Bowl trophies, not medals from your deserving, but the trophy of Christ, who even now stands at the right hand of God, shining forth his salvation into eternity. Stand up now, look around, and rejoice. The glory of the Lord has dawned. Amen. We rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Give me a clean heart.